Welcome to the Hyphen Church Podcast, where faith meets the spaces in between. We're here to explore what it means to belong, to grow, and to encounter God in the midst of life's questions and complexities. Whether you're here to listen, reflect, or take a step forward, know that you're in the right place. Let's make space together for what God is doing in us and through us. Now, let's dive into today's message.
We're going to do this four-week Advent series called God With Us, and it's going to take us into some places of waiting and understanding what it is that God is preparing for us. And as we wait for the baby Jesus in the manger, as we await the arrival of the King, there are some things that we need to realize. There are some things that we need to see in our hearts, in our lives, in the world around us that point to the signs that Christ is coming soon. And so in this first week, we want to open up our texts, our Bibles, to Romans chapter 13. And this is a message from Paul to the church in Rome, understanding what it looks like to be believers in this time, being believers who are eagerly awaiting the coming of Christ. And so the words will be up there, and Paul writes this in Romans 13. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it's already the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Will you pray with me? Father God, as you have revealed these words to us, reveal them in our hearts. We invite your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and those places that you would take us to this morning. Be with us now as we focus on your word and doing what it is that it says to do. In your Son we pray, amen. I have a confession to make, and that is I love winter. I really do. I'm kind of one of those crazy sick people who look out here and say, this is a beautiful day. This is a wonderful day. You can't live in Michigan if you don't like winter. And the thing is, there's no bugs. There's no like sweat and like miserableness. You can always dress a little bit warmer. You have a little bit more going on there. I spend more time outside in the winter. The one part about winter that would just doesn't work for me is that it's dark all the time. It is very dark. Have you noticed that? That you go and like, wow, it's lunchtime and now I just had a sandwich and it's dark again. And it seems like it's always dark in the winter. And that's the trouble that we kind of have in winter, is that we don't have a lot of that light. And when Paul is speaking here in this text, he's addressing the church that is in a time of darkness. They're kind of in the winter of where they are, and they're kind of wondering when that dawn is going to come again, when that light, when that sun is going to hit. And they love God, and they love Jesus. They believe and follow Jesus in that whole place, but it still feels like nothing is happening. It's like they've dressed up, and they're waiting for something to happen, but it's still not here. Like if you get dressed on a day where you're supposed to get a lot of snow, and then you're ready to go sledding, and then that snow never happens, it's like, what did I get all dressed up for? And in their waiting, in their beliefs, they are living between this idea of the first coming of Christ that they heard about, the Jesus in the manger, and they're waiting for this second coming that they believe will happen very, very soon. But in that long stretch of time, there's something that has happened. Their spiritual senses have dulled. They've gotten a little bit into a place where they are losing hope and their spirits are losing steam and they are standing at the window waiting for the snow and it's not happening. And they're kind of thinking to themselves, maybe this is never going to happen. It's not really an abandonment. It's not a rebellion. It's just kind of a tiredness that's set in. It's the slow weight of unfulfilled expectations. That if it hasn't happened by now, maybe it's never going to happen. Or what's taking so long? Paul names it in one word. He says, sleep. Awake from your sleep. Throw off your bedclothes. Throw off your night clothes. And put on your daytime clothes. You know what time it is, he says. How it is now the moment for you to wake from your sleep. In other words, God is moving, but we seem to be drowsy at the window waiting for it. God is drawing near to us, but we can't feel that. And God is working, but our perceptions have been dimmed as to how God is working. And the people that Paul is writing to interpret God's silence as absence. They interpret waiting as inactivity. They interpret the darkness as defeat. That we may never see the sun again. It may never come back up. And so Paul gives them this startling announcement. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. Your salvation is nearer now. And he's saying you are closer than you think. Closer to God's rescue. Closer to God's restoring work, closer to the fulfillment of what God has promised. The people Paul is writing to are experiencing this great tension. They feel forgotten at the moment that God is closest to them. And there are long nights that make us feel forgotten too. We know this feeling very well. We live in long nights too, and it's not ancient Rome. You don't have to live in the first century to feel forgotten by God. We understand what it means to feel forgotten. We may pray and nothing changes. You might try and do the right thing, but the situation still unravels. You trust God, but the timeline just feels very cruel. You obey, but you feel unseen. You cry out and you look around and you wonder, where is God in this? And it's not that we reject God, it's that we get tired. We sort of start to drift a little bit because we're standing at the window waiting for that snow to happen and it's just not coming. And we pray for snow and we pray for all of these things to happen, that God, show us your presence. Show us, God, that you're here. Show us a sign that you have been moving in this place. We just get tired of waiting and we get tired of hoping and we get tired of holding that tension and we start to think, well, maybe this whole thing isn't worth it anymore. Maybe this whole thing, the difficulty that we're going through, maybe it's just not worth it. Maybe those long nights, maybe those difficult days, maybe when we get to that point, we start to look at that and say, where is God in this situation? How come God has not fixed this? The nights feel long when you're dealing with chronic pain or you're navigating grief that hits randomly or you're trying to heal from old wounds, or you're carrying the invisible load of anxiety or fear. You're doing all the right things, but still feel behind. You're praying for someone you love, and you see very little change. And so, like Rome, we begin to drift into spiritual sleep. Not this hard-heartedness, but exhaustion. We've been living in this state of expectation. We've been living in this waiting for so long. It just doesn't seem to be working. It's not a rebellion against God, but it's a weariness in our souls that we feel that says, God, where are you? We're so tired of the waiting. It's not a rejection of God or a belief or following of Jesus, but it's just this quiet settling into this resignation. A world weary because we haven't seen the things that we've been promised. We haven't seen the expectations that we've been praying for. We haven't seen the fulfillment of what God has said is going to come true. We assume God must be far because we feel alone, or we feel that God must be inactive because we see no movement at all, or we assume that God must be silent because we hear no voice. And this is the tension that we feel, that when night feels endless, we assume that God is absent. That in this time of winter, when darkness lasts so long, we assume that there is going to be no morning. We assume that God will not show up because it just feels like the night gets longer and longer and harder and harder. And then our feelings start to work themselves into our theology. The way that we think about God, the way that we think that he's going to interact with us, the way that we think he's going to move in the world, that starts to drift in there as well. And our circumstances suddenly become our experience of God, our interpretation of the way that God moves in the world, how God deals with us, how God is silent, how God does not feel like he's moving, how it feels like God is absent. That becomes our theology then. That becomes our belief in God and how we interact with him. And we start to say, yes, yes, this is my experience with God. This is my experience in the darkness with God. We start living like people who have forgotten the dawn. We start living as though it will never come back. But church, I want to tell you that God is closer than we can feel. He is closer now than we can feel, and the night is ending. Right into this weariness, Paul gives two really important Advent declarations. He says, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Which, who knows what this possibly could mean. But what it looks like on the surface is that we are closer now. We have been moved in a way that we couldn't possibly understand. We have been in the background working, the Spirit working on us, the Spirit pulling us toward our perfection and our salvation that can only be completed through the work of Christ Jesus. Paul refuses to let them believe the lie that God drifts, that God does not retreat, he does not wander, he does not lose track of his children. And what Paul wants to reinforce by saying that our salvation is nearer now is that every movement in Christ is a movement toward God, not away. That everything we do, every prayer we say, every Bible verse we read, every song of praise we sing, every communion that we go to, every moment that we spend moving toward Christ moves us closer toward God, not away from. And so a lot of times we will say, well, where is the morning? Where is that light? I feel in the darkness. I feel absent from God. We haven't been reminding ourselves. We haven't been taking those little steps. We haven't been moving toward the light. A lot of times we think that that responsibility is just on God. God, where are you? Show up in these moments. And God is calling on us to say, where are you in these moments? Where are you in the darkness? What is it that you can be doing as well? Paul is saying, you're not getting farther from hope. You're actually getting closer to it. You're not farther from rescue. You're nearer to it than you had even imagined in the first place. Even when your feelings say otherwise, even when your night says otherwise, even when your fear takes over, it says otherwise. Paul's message to the church is God is always ahead of us, working and drawing near and closing the distance. And the second thing that Paul says is the night is nearly over. The day is near. And we know this as people. We know this as churchgoers. We know this as Advent believers. By the way, we're Advent people. We're living in that same time that these people that Paul's writing to. And so we need to constantly be reminding ourselves that the night is nearly over. The day is near. This is not some poetic optimism on Paul's part. This is a theological reality. Paul is saying, here's the reality of the situation. He does not say the night is over and the day has come. Notice that's not what he says. The reality is the night is nearly over and the day is near. And in fact, things are nearer now than they had been before. And so all our hope is built into this idea that night is done. Day is here. But the hope is not built on that. What Paul is saying is the hope is built on the fact that night is nearly done. And that the day is nearer now than it had been before. In other words, your darkness is losing its power even before you notice it. The horizon is changing. The sky is already warming. The first light of dawn is already breaking in. The grace here is subtle, but it is very powerful. God does most of his work long before we see the sunrise. God does most of his work long before we see the sunrise. While the night still seems thick, God is preparing morning. While everything still feels unchanged, God is moving. While you are sleeping in discouragement, God is working in mercy. So the grace here is not that God asks us to create a dawn. We can't do that. We can't make the sun rise. But that he brings the dawn and invites us simply to live as people who trust the light. And so even as God draws near to us, there will still be dark hours. But what was true for the Roman church is true for your life, for your waiting, for your night. And here are four things that I think that we can take from this text. The first one is that God comes near long before we recognize his arrival. I mean, this is the story of Advent itself. This is the story of the coming of Christ. God came to earth while the world slept. Christ arrived in a feeding trough, unannounced to the powerful. The shepherds only knew because the angels woke them up. The wise men saw only a dim star in the distance. Christ doesn't come with pomp and circumstance. He doesn't come with a military parade. He doesn't come with fireworks. He doesn't come with a Facebook post. Jesus comes in the quiet of the night. He did not wait for anyone to be ready for it. He did not prepare the world for it. He shows up unannounced in a place far away from the hustle and bustle. He came near to us, humbly and quietly in the dark. God is already nearer now to whatever you're praying about than you even realize. But God was already there before you started praying. That God will be there through their prayers. That this is the way that God works in the world. The second thing is that God does his best work in the dark. Scripture is full of nighttime miracles. Creation begins in darkness. Abraham's covenant is sealed at night. Israel escapes Egypt at night. Jesus is born at night. The resurrection is discovered while it was still dark. God is not intimidated by darkness. In fact, God thrives in every environment. God thrives in the darkness. He thrives in the daytime. He thrives through all of that. He works in it. He moves through it. He does not avoid the darkness like we do. And he is not dissuaded by our fear of the dark. He is not moved by our fear of the dark. He works and he works and he works our good plans, even when we can't see it. Your darkness does not disqualify you from hope. It positions you for your dawn. And that leads us to the third thing. Your night is not empty. God is preparing you in it. So God works well in the night, and we don't necessarily work so great in the night. But God is preparing you in that darkness, in that silence, in that absence, in that thing that we refuse to talk about. God is working in those prayers that you believe are going nowhere. God is working in that courage that you need just to get out of bed in the morning sometimes. God is working in the healing that feels too slow. God is working in the relationships that require patience. God is working in the grief that won't resolve itself. God is working in the quiet disciplines you practice in faith. The night is not wasted time. There are no nightlights in the womb. This is formation time. This is preparation time. This is the time that we cannot ignore, the waiting, the prep, to say, Christ, where are you? Oh God, how long must we wait? The absence you feel is not God's distancing. It is often God's deep work beneath the surface that we can't feel. We don't have words to describe what's going on. We don't have senses to feel it. We can see the world around us moving, but the world of God doesn't always respond to those feelings. And the last thing is, the dawn is already beginning because Christ is nearer now. And as Advent people, the reason that we celebrate Advent, the reason that this just isn't Christmas and then we say goodbye to one another, the reason that Advent starts the Christmas season and the church calendar is because Christ is coming. And we need this reminder every year. We need this reminder almost really daily, right? To say Christ is coming nearer now than ever before. This is the ultimate note of Advent hope. We don't feel movement, but God is closer. We don't see the light, but God is working. You may not sense change, but night is thinning. And if you could see what God sees, if you could see what he has already begun, if you had the ability to look backwards and see all the things that he's already been doing in your life, you would know that your salvation is nearer now, your hope is nearer now, restoration is nearer now, God's presence is nearer now to us. But if you got a glimpse at the end, if you knew what was coming in that dawn, if you knew the things that God had prepared, that wouldn't be faith now, would it? I would just be reading to the end of the book. I would be spoiling the ending because our faith is built in these times of darkness. Our faith is built in that understanding of Christ is coming, but we don't feel him now. And God's presence isn't nearer now because you feel it. This is the most important thing that we can take, I think. God's presence isn't nearer because we feel it all of a sudden. God's presence is nearer now because he promised it. And so if you believe that God is who he says he is, that God is a man of his promise, then we know it's there. And we don't have to feel it to believe it. We don't have to be living in the presence all the time of this moment of, I don't know where God is. He feels absence. He feels like he's gone. The darkness is closing in on me. Yes, it is. And he's still there. And we may not feel it for a very long time. 420 years they waited between prophet and the coming of Jesus. We may not feel it. We may not see it. We may not know if those prayers are working. But we do these things because God has promised his presence, whether we feel it or not. The night is nearly over. The day is drawing near, and God is closer than you imagine. You have not been forgotten. In Christ, salvation is nearer now than it ever has been.